Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all you freaks out there. This is Ryan. I'm taking a sip out of my extremely large Route 44 grape limeade here. Take a look. Second here. I have a cough button. Sorry about that. Man, I think stronger than I thought it was. So, welcome to the Freaking Awesome Show. Sorry about the coughing there, the coughing fit. I don't have a cough button here. And if I did, it'd be like 5 seconds too late anyway. So this computer is so slow. It's like ridiculous. So, but anyways, welcome to the freaking awesome show. Hope everyone had a good weekend. I had a pretty good weekend. Although I can't think of anything like anything I did this past weekend that's worth mentioning. I had Spirit of Talk. I had the Spirit of Talk show on Saturday night with my friends Carrie and Melissa on the Vibe Radio Network. So, and Angie, my girlfriend, was on there as well. She's not feeling good, so she's in bed right now. But the four of us had a nice discussion. We found these would you rather questions, which kind of stimulate your mind a little bit, make you think. So it was fun. It was a good show. So I did that Saturday night, and still feeling the effects of the limeade apparently. So, anyways, yeah, we did that show on Saturday. I worked on Sunday night. And then Friday, I think I worked Friday night too. Yeah, I worked Friday night too. I delivered pizzas at night during the week. It was pretty fun. We've got the folks from Cobra Paranormal on the show with us tonight. And I see them in the queue here with the question marks by their phone numbers. But I have some shameless promoting to do right quick before I put them on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. On February 8th, for those of you who don't know, I run the Cabin on 360 with my friend Dennis, and we are having a seance inside the cabin. We've invited the Southern Gypsies to come out and hold a seance out there. They're legit. They've been to several different locations, held seances at several different haunted locations. One of the Gypsies is Holly Mullins. She was my co-host on the Freaking Awesome Show for almost 2 years. So, I mean, I don't know them very well. And the Cabin on 360, it's HAF, Haunted as Fuck. Yeah, very haunted. It's a very, very haunted location. And we wanted to try something different out there. Something different than one of those, like, regular, than just a regular investigation. Just to see what happens. The tickets are $40 a piece. But you get to participate in the seance. And you get to investigate the brick house and the woods. So while we're having the seance in the cabin, the brick house and the woods will be open. Probably have to set the age limit at 18 and up because we don't like anybody under 18 going into the brick house because of what's in there. And I don't want anything to happen to anybody. So take age range 18 and up, and tickets are $40 a piece. We can only allow 30 people this time because you can only have 15 people in at each seance, so 30 person max. And that's about it. So if you're in the area and you're sitting coming out to a seance and paranormal investigation on February 8th. We would love to have you out here. So, anyways, on to my guests. Now, I was going to say that I've never actually spoken to anybody from Nebraska. But I remembered I had a lady come out to the cabin that was actually from Nebraska. So I really can't say that. But this is the first time I'll learn anything about the haunts of Nebraska. I wrote in my Facebook post, I think that, you know, I know there's corn there because of the corn huskers. That's about all I know. And I know about Lincoln, Nebraska because of the corn huskers. So, and Tom Osborne. he was a coach at one point out there. So I'm very, my knowledge of Nebraska is very limited. So I'm very happy to have these folks on. You know, happy they came on to talk to me about some of their experiences and some of the haunted places out in Nebraska. So I'm going to go ahead and put them on the show right now. Right here, right there, and right there.
How you doing?
Good evening, folks. How are you guys doing
tonight? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome. Wow. So how's everyone doing tonight?
Good, good. Thank you for having us. Very appreciated.
Doing really good.
Man. Good, good, good. How cold is it? How cold is it out there?
Pretty close to zero. I'm not sure the exact temp, but it is pretty close to zero.
Mine's in the sub-zeros.
Jeez. And I'm sitting here.
I think I last checked
like
it was 4 degrees.
Jeez. Man. You must laugh at people like us, like me, who like think it's cold and it's 40.
That would be well received right now. 40 degrees, I would like that a lot.
Tank top weather.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I ready to hit the beach?
Yes.
Do it.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Okay. I am Keith Ottersberg. I am the founder and lead investigator of Cobra Paranormal. I also run a podcast called The Otter's Den here and there, part of the Nebraska chapter of Spirit Mechanics, and I investigate, help out a little bit with the Haunted Rooms of America. Next.
I'm Missy. I am the case manager for Cobra. I don't have a glorious resume like Keith Bear, but I sometimes is known as the other half of his brain.
Yes.
That's a glorious resume right there.
Hey. That's a pretty good resume, Missy.
Exactly.
I'm Lisa. Auxer, and I'm also known as Witchy One, and I do Friday Folklore for Cobra Paranormal, and I am a paranormal investigator, and hopefully pretty soon Missy and I will be doing a Wednesday thing on Cobra.
Yeah.
Called Witchy Wednesday.
Let's get it done.
Is that could be like a podcast or just or like a Facebook Live thing or how, what's Witchy Wednesday going to be? Was that a surprise?
Just you know details about anything pagan. I think we will graduate up to a Facebook Live and then maybe a podcast, but. We're going to give it some training wheels, see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Well, let me know when you guys start. I'll be sure to tune in because I'm always interested in finding out more about that kind of stuff.
We certainly will. Thank you.
That's awesome. I'll try my best to share it so I'll make sure a lot of people can see it as well.
That'd be awesome, man. Thank you.
No problem. So I'd like to start at the beginning and learn how each of you got into the paranormal in the first place.
With me, that's a long story, and I'll try to keep it as short as I can here. I had my first paranormal experience when I was 6 years old. Things escalated from there. Followed me throughout high school, throughout my relationships. Eventually, I started reaching out to paranormal groups to try to figure out what was happening, you know, why it was happening, how it's happening, and how to stop things. One thing led to another. You know, the teams that came down to investigate for us, people found out. I started scheduling other investigations for them, got to go help them, you know, so I could learn more. Eventually was able to join one of those teams, and then eventually broke off onto my own team.
That's definitely a short version of it.
That was a real short version of it.
There we go.
Yeah, we can get more into it later if you want to.
We'll get into it more. How about you?
For me, I got intrigued really young. The fun story is that my grandma swore that her bedroom was haunted, had me spend the night. We both felt something sit on the bed, and she looked at me and said, "I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I'll be right back." And she left me alone.
Your grandma? So, let me get this straight. Your grandma, how old were you when she told you that her house was haunted?
I was probably about 9, 10-ish.
So your grandma says her house is haunted. Why don't you spend the night in the room that's haunted and then leaves you there?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That is, that's traumatic. Sorry.
Yes, it was. But here I am, so evidently I must have enjoyed it.
There you go. You survived. So you like, fate, like, push you in the pool. No toe in. Just like, woohoo! Cannonball into the paradise.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure that's how my swimming went, too.
Just get in it. You'll be fine.
I remember my mom telling me,
move your legs.
Flap your arms like a bird. You'll eventually come up.
Exactly. If you want to die, you better swim. Shit. All right.
Sink or
man.
Swim.
That's one way to do it.
Exactly. Outside of all of that other stuff, when I was little, fast forward to 15, I had a friend who took his own life on my birthday, my 15th birthday, and I woke up to him sitting at the end of my bed. And so I just kind of dove a little bit deeper from there. Now, obviously, I wanted answers and all of that stuff. So I spent a lot of nights soloing it in graveyards and with permission, of course. Always get permission. Just trying to find answers and figuring out why I saw him and nobody else could. So, yeah, that's mine in a nutshell.
That's very interesting.
Indeed. And
mine, I grew up
with a girlfriend. I'm in bed sick too.
Thank you for coming on. She'd be on too,
oh,
but she's
yeah.
just and she's actually in bed with my son right now. So she took him for the team and helped put him to sleep. So and I wasn't awake
yeah.
around I'm like, yeah, I'll let her sleep.
Lisa?
Yeah, that too. Sorry, that was my daughter.
Goodbye.
Mine, I grew up with spirit in the house. The landlord, well, I call him the landlord. The gentleman that my parents bought the house from actually hung himself in the tree that used to be in the front yard of the house where I grew up. And the deadbolt locks would lock and unlock by themselves. Things would move. When my sister and I were doing things that we weren't supposed to be doing, glasses would actually levitate off of the dish drainer and crash. That's how my mom knew we were doing something we weren't supposed to be doing. So
that's when, and I was, like I said, I grew up with it. And my history is like Germans of the Black Forest, Native American, uh-huh. and Italian and Irish Celt. So it's just everywhere. but I went from that house to other houses, and something seemed to follow me, and I ended up having to go to a priest to have something removed from me. And once that was removed from me, then I did much better.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a demon, but it was a... It was a not nice spirit. I'll put it that way.
I'm glad you got help for that.
Me too.
So how did you all like get together to form Cobra Paranormal?
My wife and I actually found it. I've known Lisa since high school. So that's kind of how, you know, I knew she was having issues and, you know, dabbled in the paranormal. So that's kind of how she got involved. So I just, you know, got a hold of her and said, hey, you want to come over and help us? She's like, yeah, sure. And then with Missy, my team was actually helping. We were kind of mixing with another team, going to some places and investigating. And that is how I met. And then I took a break from the paranormal for about a year because I was having some issues. And then all of a sudden I started to get back into it, and there she was, and her team had kind of spread apart a little bit. And I'm like, hey, I got this going on over here. Are you interested? She's like, yeah, sure. So here we are. And then we've also got another member of the team who's not on here tonight, Charlie Bruner. We actually helped with one of his relatives' cases, and that's how we got to know him. I was impressed with his gifts, so it's like, hey, come on, we need you. Let's go. Am I missing anything?
So,
no, I think you got it all.
Well, we have one that doesn't live in the same state as us.
Thank you. You'll have to forgive me.
And I always forget about her. I'm sorry, Tara.
Yeah, the blonde thing I got going on tonight. Paratera, she is in Texas. She is also a member of Cobra Paranormal. We bid her in, and she assists us when she's up here in Nebraska.
Very cool. How'd you guys come up with the name of Cobra Paranormal?
Well,
don't remember.
That Cobra has been my nickname since high school. I was always the kid that got shoved into lockers and shoved in the ladies' bathroom, you know, when the teachers were in there. I was the littlest guy out there. I always got picked on. And one day my senior year, after I had bought a 76 Mustang Cobra, one of the high school guy or the high school football players was picking on me, and I dropped him before anybody saw it. So the name just kind of stuck, and that's what I picked out for the team name. Originally, I had an acronym for it, and I can't remember all of this. Something silly like Crazy Orb Busters, something, something, something. But I can't even remember what the heck it was. It's been too long. My memory is shot.
I like that. I like that it has a personal story to it. It's not like, you know, snakes. Cobras were my favorite snake, so I decided to name it Cobra. I like that. You know, it has some history to it. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Nope. I'm the Cobra.
So I don't really know much about Nebraska as far as, like, you know, haunted locations. Are there a lot of haunted locations out there?
Oh, definitely. I live in the weirdest part of the state.
Yeah, there's quite a few, and I'm going to let Missy hit this one, answer this one, because she knows more about those locations than I do. We kind of tend to cater to, you know, the individual families to help, but she has more knowledge of the haunted locations. And then I think Lisa knows about some around her area also.
Yeah, I am proprietary to the Omaha surrounding area. I mean, there's a few pieces, places that go back if you look at some of the history. A lot of them you're not allowed to get into. We've got the Whaley Mansion. Whaley Mansion's not, you know, like an open thing, but it is a private residence. We've got, are you wanting like the listing of things that are haunted around here or things that we have specifically been to? Because I've got a list.
Let's check out the places you've actually been to.
What does that mean? Sorry. I probably think, guys, if you agree, our probably biggest place to go to was Dempster's, but that's not an open venue either.
Right.
Yeah, Dempster's is one of the biggest manufacturing plants in Beatrice. They started out manufacturing farm equipment, windmills, water pumps. They really helped get the farming communities in Nebraska going when the state was first being founded. Very active location.
I mean, I would say next to that, probably Seven Sisters Highway, which is always a great big folklore in Nebraska. Anytime you see, you know, spotted out haunted locations for Nebraska specifically, that's going to be one of the first ones you run across.
So what happened out
there? We're going to make it there. Me and a former teammate, actually, and my 10-year-old, we decided to take a trip down the Seven Sisters Highway. The history behind it is that a farmer had seven daughters. He was in the midst of doing some land negotiations. He didn't want to give up his land for the developed town to build through. The sisters, or the daughters, were all on board with it. He also had a son. And as the legend goes, on each hill along this road, he hung up each sister and killed them.
Jeez.
So that's the legend.
Not thought of the material. Wow, that's some dad.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. We've had everything from, you know, being in our vehicle on a calm night. It wasn't windy. There wasn't even a hint of a wind. Usually when we go out, we debunk all those things, wind, what direction, speed, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you could actually hear audibly, you know, people just running through these fields right next to the car. And,
you know,
my little 10-year-old said, I think we're ready to go now.
Yeah, I would say so.
Other than that, I mean, Lisa, do you want to go into some of what you have history-wise down with you?
Sure. How many, you know, like I said, I'm in the crazy part of Nebraska. I live down by Humboldt, Nebraska, Ball City, Rulo area. And I don't know if anybody is familiar with this, but most people know it as the Tina Brandon story, but it's actually Brandon Tina. If you've ever seen the movie Boys Don't Cry, she was dressed as a he and was murdered. It's a big story about here in Nebraska. They bulldozed the house in and they blocked the way into the road into the house. They've blocked that off. But I have pulled into the entranceway up to the locked gate. And I have sat there with a voice recorder. And I have gotten a voice recording. And it gives you chills. I will put it that way. It said, get them out of here.
Wow.
I don't
know
if it's...
Under the circumstances, I can see why that would give you chills.
I don't know if it was me, get me out of there, or if it was doing a loop, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Rulo had the cult. And they ended up killing a small child over there. The only thing I want to do is go over and cleanse the land. That's all I want to do. Brown, and I'm next to Brownsville, and the Belle of Brownsville, it's a riverboat, and it's claimed to be haunted. Claims of the piano playing and stuff like that. But where I live, the town is known for the Underground Railroad, and an airline flight 250 actually crashed and killed all 42 passengers.
I didn't know about that. Wow.
And so there's different places here in town, like our auditorium, our store, different places around town. You get funky feelings. And so you just have to listen and you pick up on it.
Well, it definitely sounds like I have some places to choose from if I can take my vacation out to Nebraska.
Yeah, there's also a place, it's in Iowa, but it's rather close. We like to go to sometimes. It's called Malvern Manor. Let's see, what was the name of that hotel that we went to? Help me out.
Burwood.
No, not the Burwood, the other one.
Klondike?
Yes, the Klondike Hotel. And then it's privately owned. It's in Beatrice, Nebraska. It's a place called the Burwood Hotel.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, that place is off the hook active. It is absolutely nuts inside there. But it's very hard to get into. I think that's one of my favorites.
That is the place that SCC sorority had hosting a haunted house. I was one of their characters in their haunted house, and it was actually a haunted location.
Yeah, a haunted house.
that's gonna ramp up the activity for sure, because I know they have a sanatorium around here in Virginia that does a haunted house, and they say that like a month after everyone leaves and it goes back to normal, like the ghosts are still acting up with so much energy there.
Yeah,
well,
it makes
the crazy thing was nobody believed me that stuff was going on. And I'm like, hello, I can see it. Oh, no, you're just being paranoid. No, I'm not.
Right.
I kind of do this for a living, so I'm pretty sure I know what I saw. They're just merely looking for an excuse for it not to be haunted. They were scared themselves.
Probably.
So you guys do a lot of work with, I guess, private cases?
Yeah, that's mainly what we deal with. We've all, we've said, we've all had issues with the paranormal in the past, some of them pretty severe. We've all received help in one way or another and are paranormal free. And so we pool our gifts and we go out and help individuals, families, who are having issues. That's kind of our mission, is to help others in need, so they can have peace like we have.
So can you take us through what a normal corporate paranormal investigation would be like?
It gets kind of interesting sometimes. The way
there's really
things,
nothing normal about
right
us,
word.
But
maybe normal.
Yeah, there is
right
normal. We'll do things, pretty much one of three ways. If somebody just wants an investigation, wants evidence, we can take our equipment in and get them some evidence. Mm-hmm. If they want evidence and then they decide they want the property cleansed, we'll go back and we'll cleanse the property. A lot of people, they know they're having issues, they know what's going on, and they just want it gone. So we'll just go in, we'll do our preliminaries, see what's going on, see what we got to deal with, get on site, double check that, because, things can change from, this month when you're starting to look into it to the next month when you actually get there, things can change. So, you got to double check, make sure, something else hasn't shown back up. But we go in, we cross who needs to be crossed, we take care of what needs to be taken care of. If the clients have any attachments, those are removed. Generally, when we leave, the property, the land, and the clients are paranormal free. And then we do aftercare, which I'd really love to see a lot more teams do. It's very important for the clients. They've been plagued with paranormal activity and negative energy, some of them for a long time. Your body, your mind, your soul gets used to that. It's like pulling drugs from a junkie. Within a few hours, you're going to be craving that. Your body does the same thing. It's used to that negative energy. It wants that negative energy back because that's the normal. Now everything's gone. It's different. It's changed. So it's really important to keep in contact with those clients. Leave them with cleansing instructions and supplies, protective stones and crystals. And most of all, reach out, talk to them, message them, hey, how's things going? Are you having any issues? And sometimes they just need somebody to talk to. We're not psychologists or, what have you, but we've all been through this, so we do have experience in that.
You know, we've all had paranormal experiences throughout our lives, and a lot of times people don't, like, before social media and everything, people didn't really have a way to, like, talk to anyone about their problems. Do you think, like, Facebook and social media has helped, like, people feel more comfortable coming to people like you guys and for help?
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
You know, they get to see, you know, hey, there are teams out there that help with what we've got dealing with. They might not think we're crazy, you know, so they'll have the courage to reach out and say, hey, I think I might need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that you don't have to be face-to-face. You're actually behind a keyboard going, hey, this actually happened to me. And
right.
Then they're actually getting braver and going, okay, wait a minute. I can actually call this person and talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, and take that next step.
And we found that a lot of clients are afraid to reach out and talk to anybody face-to-face or even on the phone because they, you know, every time they've tried to talk to somebody, they know about it. There's nothing, that stuff doesn't exist. You're crazy. You know, they keep getting told they're crazy. So they're afraid to, you know, reach out for help.
There's still like a stigma attached to the paranormal to some people. I don't know.
Yes.
They just don't refuse. If they're so narrow minded, they just refuse to believe it. But I mean, it's like, what do you have to do?
They're scared of it.
That and a lot of people are set in their ways. If they're a non-believer, if they've never had experiences, you're not going to convince them that spirits exist. You're not going to convince them that fae exist. It's not going to happen until they have something happen to them severe enough for them to open their eyes. They're not going to believe. You know, it's not our job to make them believe. It's our job to help them when they finally do believe.
Yeah. I mean, you have these people, they watch Ghost Adventures or whatever, Ghost Hunters, and they're like, I believe in the paranormal. It's like, you don't believe it really until it happens to you.
Right.
Then you have no doubt.
Yeah. Right, because the non-believers, you know,
happens to you,
what's that? I'm sorry?
I was going to say, once it happens to you, it's almost like a drug, or if you're into it, it's like a drug, and you just want it more. You want to, you know, seek it out. Get answers.
That adrenaline rush when you get that first EVP, when you see your first full-bodied apparition, the first time you get touched or scratched.
Mm-hmm. I still get excited when I get EVPs. But I get just as excited as my first EVP. Every time I get one, it's like the coolest feeling.
Yes. Yeah, it's still very exciting.
Let's go down that rabbit hole. Do you remember what your first EVP you ever captured was?
I don't remember. My memory isn't that great due to a car accident. I don't remember a lot.
All right, what's the best EVP?
The best one, I would say.
EVP? Yeah.
The best one I personally.
But that's kind of a hard question, anyways.
Yeah, I was on a live feed with Lorelei Bagare, and she was one of the first people, the first person to get into John Wayne Gacy's property to investigate. And I was working with her on some things, and I was on the live feed and sitting here recording it for her. And when I went over the evidence that I caught, she was in the bathroom. And I don't remember exactly what it said, but I'm pretty sure it was like something about John, please stop. I mean, it was class A. It was classic. I'll have to see if I can find him.
Oh, wow. Oh, I would love to hear that. How about you, Lisa?
I would have to say it was definitely, Oh. Now I got to think.
Sorry. the line mate got to me again.
Hmm.
Got so many good ones, it's hard to pick the best, huh?
Well, there's a couple I'm debating on. I don't know which one.
How about
pick.
Ask Michelle, and we'll come back to you, and you can do the debate.
Okay.
How about you, Michelle?
It was my first EVP and by far my best, and I'll never forget it.
Nice. The two birds right there.
We were at the Villisca Axe Murder House over in Villisca, Iowa, and I had one of my good friends with me, and we were downstairs in the Stillinger bedroom, and we were running a spirit box, an SB7, and clear as day, you know, we had asked them, you know, do you have a particular toy that you like to play with in here? We're trying to communicate with, you know, the Stillinger girls. And clean as day, just over multiple sweeps, this little girl said, I like to play with Lena, which is one of the daughters that was murdered. And we went, oh, my God. And we ran outside to show everybody.
That's awesome.
That is great. Evidence. If you could figure out how to send that to me, I'd love to hear that too. That's pretty.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty.
Absolutely.
Freaking awesome. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. It was class A. It was clean, clear, intelligent, and you know, how often can you get something that actually correlates a name with the name of one of the victims?
It's like going fishing, catching like a 200-pound tuna on like your first cast or something like that. You're like, all right.
Exactly.
Like, all right, I can retire now. I'm good. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
did you figure
Lisa,
it out yet?
Have you figured out?
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to go with professional or personal, but I'm going to go with personal. I was with my cousins and my sister, and we were at the cemetery. It was Memorial Day. And I had my voice recorder out, and I wanted to say how much I loved my aunt and my grandparents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt never called me Lisa Renee. Okay. She never said my name right. Never. She always said Lisa Renee instead of Renee. And I got this voice saying, Lisa Renee, if you don't stop recording me. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
Okay, I'll stop.
Wow, that kind of.
I'll stop.
That had to. Man, that is awesome. That is incredible.
Oh. And my sister and my cousins and I all looked at each other and we're like, that did not just happen. You know, we got tears running down our faces, and I'm just like,
wow.
That's when I knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah, you get something like that, man. It's wow. That is incredible. That is incredible. And your cousins heard it too. And you got that's wow. This is some pretty good, very, very, very cool pieces of evidence you guys got there. The one with at the Axe Murder House is amazing. Yours is really good, Keith, and damn, Lisa, it got me in the feels. I wasn't even there. I don't even know your aunt. And I'm like, oh my God, it got to me too. That's crazy.
Exactly. And I did just, I cannot talk tonight. I'm on my computer. I did find that clip and I did send it to you via messenger.
Oh, perfect. I'll listen to it when I get off of here. Now, you guys have been on many investigations. Have you ever been like scared during an investigation? Like maybe I shouldn't be here type of deal.
Not really. At least I'm going to speak for me personally. With what I dealt with here at the house, there's not a lot that frightens me anymore in the paranormal mm-hmm. field. I've dealt with kinds of things. Had quite a bit of training from the spirit mechanic in order to know how to handle these things. So there's not a lot that I won't tackle. If by chance I do run up against something that I've either never faced before and I don't know how to deal with it, you know, I'll back the team out of the situation, get a hold of the mechanics and say, okay, hey, this is what I got. What do I need to do to take mm-hmm. care of this? You know, I do my homework real quick, explain the team, then we'll go back inside and take care of it. I'll let the other two answer for themselves.
Yeah, on a personal level, when I was with my former team, I had one incident where we were doing a private location, and I had walked in. I remember being in there for just maybe 5 minutes, if even that, and my body just signaled something that just wasn't right. I ran out of there, ended up losing my dinner that we had eaten previous to the investigation, and was pretty much physically unable to go back in. They had to drive me back home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the further and further away we had gotten from the location, the better I had gotten. I would say that was probably one of my worst.
And
I'm not doing on wood, no.
there's still time, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of people getting sick during investigations. We had a team come down from New Hampshire to investigate the cabin, and they drove like 9 hours, paid $400 to investigate out there, and they left after 45 minutes. And they said
oh, wow.
The house was just too much, just tearing the team apart. They're bickering at each other, fighting. This one guy said, one of his partners, he had known for like 20 years, said he just wanted to punch him in the face, and just, like, we can't deal with this. So they left. And they said the farther they got, like you said, the farther they got away from the house, the location, the more they felt like themselves. But yeah,
and that's how it works.
So you really can't tell. With the paranormal, it could be fine one day, and then the next day it's like making people, get sick, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. I think your cabin is now officially on my bucket list.
Hey, we'd love to have you, man. We've got two houses. One house, a young girl was raped and murdered in. The cabin was a brothel at one point, and the woods. Or the property, there was a skirmish right before Cold Harbor called the Battle of Bethesda Church. And like 2,200 men were either captured or killed on our land. So
wow.
It's got a buttload of activity. And I'll be sure, I'll send you some EVPs we captured out there
Dang.
If you're interested.
Yeah, very interested.
We're about out of time. I want to give you guys a chance to, plug your team and let people know where they can find you and, get in touch with you.
That'd be awesome. Thank you. We are on Facebook.
No problem.
Under Cannot Knock, Undercover Paranormal. I also have my Otter's Den page where I'm going to get back into doing my podcast. There is a page called The Spirit Mechanics. And then I also help a team called Haunted Ruins America. So the main ones are the Cobra Paranormal, the Otter's Den, and then the Spirit Mechanics. And then we also have a website. It's CobraParanormal.com. Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
Absolutely.
How about you girls? Anything you want to add?
Just look for Friday Folklore on Cobra Paranormal on Facebook and watch for Witchy Wednesday coming up and check out the Cobra Paranormal page and watch for things to be popping up soon.
You know, if you guys ever
I'll just add that I pull out, you know, stones and cards for the week. We're all about education. So if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask.
Definitely.
Well, if you guys ever want to join the Vibe Radio Network and do a podcast out here, we'd be more than happy to have you guys aboard.
May take you up on that.
No kidding.
We're, you know, we'd love to have you join the family. It was a great, great talking to you guys. May have to make a trip out to Nebraska sometime in the future. And maybe check out some of those haunted locations.
Enough. We'll show you a good time.
You do.
I can't wait for
ahead of time. We actually have a venue here in Wymore where I live. Called the Stevenson Building. I'll take you down there. That place is pretty active, too.
There we go.
That sounds like a plan, man. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get off of here. I hope you guys have a great night. And, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate
thank
it. And we'll definitely be keeping in touch for sure.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Have a great night, guys.
All right, you too.
Bye.
You too.
Stay warm out there, all right?
Gonna try.
We'll try.
I'll send you guys some sunshine.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
All right, good night.
Bye.
All right.
Well, that was fun. Really glad I was able to talk to them, and definitely made me interested in going out to Nebraska and maybe doing some paranormal investigating out there with them. Don't forget to tune in next week. Normal last Monday of the month schedule, 8:30. We have the Haunts of Richmond coming on, talking about scary stories from the Richmond, Virginia area and Virginia in general. And then next week, we got Supernatural News. Hopefully Angie will be feeling better by then. I don't think she has to work. If not, then it'll just be me on there doing Supernatural News. So you can hear my velvety tones again. Oh, again, thank you to the folks from Cobra Paranormal. Had a brain fart there. And definitely check out their websites, their Facebook pages and stuff. And like I said, I'll be sharing the stuff, and I'll definitely be keeping in touch with them. So have a great night, and I will talk to you guys next week. Same freaking awesome time, same freaking awesome channel.